John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless it to us today. By your Spirit, open our eyes to your truth. Make a change, make a difference in our heart, in our life, in our motivation, that we would serve you better, that we would glorify you by our lives. Give me the words and the unction to speak that which you want me to speak. Open hearts and ears and eyes to see wondrous truths of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In this passage today, we have the fourth witness. So last time that we preached on this, that was 2 weeks ago, and even before that, we started looking at the witnesses that Jesus is telling them that they have. The witnesses meaning those who show what is the truth. Jesus was talking to the Jews who did not believe on him, and he told them, you had John the Baptist. Was he from heaven or from man? And they refused to tell him. That was in a different place. But they had John the Baptist. They did not believe him because John the Baptist said, look, here is Jesus. Here is the Messiah. They had Christ's own works, which Jesus, also in a different place, said, if you don't believe my words, then believe me for the work's sake. In other words, you see me doing miracles. You see me doing things that you know are not human. You know they are from God. Then believe me for the work's sake. And they still refused to believe. And the third was the Father's testimony, how God the Father, first in the miracles, he testified that this is his son, but also in his voice. At the baptism, it was the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. At the transfiguration, again, it was the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. And then there was a third time that we find, I think it's in John 12, where some heard thundering, but it was again God speaking and saying, this is my son. It was the Father's testimony, and now is the fourth today, and that is the scriptures. It is the words that are written down that God has caused to be written down by Moses and the prophets. They held, the Jews, they held Moses in a very high place in their minds. They said, we believe Moses. We read Moses. He was held in high regard for them as their prophet. And yet, Jesus doesn't mince words, and he says, you do not believe Moses. When he ends this chapter, he says, if you don't believe his writings, then how will you believe my words? In other words, God has already given you the testimony of the words of Moses, whom you say you trust. That's what he says. You say you trust him, and yet In verse 45, he says, there's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. They trust in Moses. They trust in themselves knowing the Word of God, memorizing it. And yet, he says, you trust in Moses, but you actually don't. You don't believe him. If you believed him, you would also believe me, because Moses wrote of me. That's what Jesus says. So here we have the final and fourth witness, and that is the Word of God itself, showing us that Christ is the Messiah. So if I would title this today, I thought of a few different ones, a few different titles. Either refusing to come, because that's what this is about. The Jews, after having seen all this, experienced all this, heard all this, and yet they refused. They said, we don't want any part of this. Even if we see it with our own eyes, yet we refuse. Yet we don't want this. Why? Because it'll affect our life. It'll affect our power. It'll affect our authority that we have over the people, so we can't change. They refused to come. Or we could put a different spin on it and ask, why can you not believe? Because we also have that in here, the question of why can they not believe? And it really comes down just to our sinful nature. Look, as long as we think that we are good enough, that whenever we want, we can believe. As long as we think that, we still think too much of ourselves. We still think too highly of ourselves. Like this Agrippa who said to Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. He was thinking of persuasion. If you can talk to me enough, well enough, and I'll hear it and I'll understand it, then I will believe. I'm almost persuaded. But the thing is, words alone cannot persuade someone to be a Christian. It is only by the Spirit of God that someone's eyes and heart is opened to want to know and to hear and to understand the Word of God. So Jesus gave the Jews here the fourth witness, the Scriptures themselves. And let's go to another overview of this whole passage. Jesus spoke plainly to the Jews. We can learn something from this. Not to speak rudely or speak to someone else as if we know everything and they know nothing. Not in that way, but to speak plainly, to speak the truth. Because who is the owner of truth? Jesus is. Do you have Jesus in your life? Is he dwelling in you? Then if you speak the truth, he is the one who will defend it. Yes, you can try to defend why something is true, but ultimately, Jesus himself defends his truth. Look at what he said to them. So this comes to the perspective of, why can you not believe? What all did they not have? Jesus told them what all they do not have. In verse 37, he says, you have not heard his voice. You have not seen his shape. What does that mean? To the others, Jesus said, to his disciples, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And now he says, to those who are seeing him, he says, you haven't seen God's shape. You haven't heard God's voice. Why? Because there are two different truths here that are true at the same time. One is, you can hear the Word of God with your ears, but your heart is not hearing them. This is why the Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you don't have ears to hear, you cannot hear. You can want to, you can claim to want to, but if you do not have ears to hear, you cannot hear. if you don't have ears to hear, it would do you well to beg God and not stop begging God to give you ears to hear His word. Jesus told them plainly, you have not heard His voice. Jesus says later in John, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They are not His sheep. Somewhere else He says to them plainly, you do not understand because you are not my sheep. They have not heard His voice. They have not seen His shape. And what else? Verse 38. You have not His word abiding in you. If you are a Christian, you have this. You have God's word abiding in you. In 1 Peter, it says that it is the seed of the word of God that gives us, that generates that new life in us. It is the seed of the word of God, and it abides. It remains. It stays there. This is also part of that same truth of eternal security, perseverance of the saints. There's a reason why, for some, there's a they're against the term once saved, always saved. And the reason, to those who really consider it, what the Bible says, the reason is because it sounds like you can just say a prayer, and then you can go and live for the devil and you're still saved. But that is false. The term perseverance of the saints goes more towards the side of if you are God's child, you will persevere to the end. It's not once you've prayed a prayer, you will remain saved to the end, because was it genuine? Did you really believe? Did you really trust in the finished work of Jesus? Or was it just something emotional? Someone told you to do this and to be in the game, you quickly did it. That is not the meaning of salvation. The meaning of salvation is that God causes us to be born again, and then we persevere. We hold on to the end. Hebrews 3 talks about those who remain steadfast to the end, they are partakers of Christ. Not those who just claim for a while to have Christ and then fall away. No, those who persevere to the end, they are the ones who truly have Christ. So Jesus tells them, you don't have His word abiding in you. You've heard it in your ears, but it hasn't been made home in your heart. You don't have His word abiding in you. And then He also says, what else do they not have? Verse 38. Whom God the Father has sent, Him you believe not. They couldn't say really much against it, that Jesus was sent by the Father. They believe that John the Baptist was sent by God. And yet, when it came to John the Baptist telling them, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, they could not believe that, or else they would jeopardize their own power. They wanted to keep their own power. They could not admit to the truth. So He says, you don't have God's word in you, and the one whom God has sent, you don't believe. In verse 40, He says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You don't have His word. You don't believe Him. You won't come to Him. When we're done with all the knots, all the things they did not do, then we will see what a true believer does. Because you just need to reverse it. And you see what a true believer does. A true believer, the word of God abides in him. He believes in Christ. He comes to Christ. You reverse all those things and you see what a true believer is. You will not come to me, He says in verse 40. Verse 42, He says, you do not have the love of God in you. It is not just from here, but also from the same writer in the book of 1 John says, if you don't have the love of God in you, you are none of His. And He's telling them, you do not have the love of God in you. In verse 43, He says, I am come in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. Another thing, if you are a believer, you will receive Christ when He comes. You will not say no to Him. You receive Me not. Verse 44, He says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another? And what do they not do? You seek not the honor that comes from God only. And then in verse 47, He says, you believe not the writings of Moses. And if you don't believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? All these things together, you only need to turn them around and you see this is what a true believer is. What does a true believer do in verse 44? He seeks the honor that comes from God. This is what Paul said to the Galatians. Do I serve God or do I serve man? If I still serve man, I would not be a servant of Christ. When Jesus says, you seek not the honor that comes from God, but you receive honor one of another, He is telling them very plainly, you only look for the approval of man. As long as someone else says you're a good person, you keep going. But you do that instead of coming to Christ and asking God, what do I need to do to be saved? Look, when you're truly lost and you start to see that you're truly lost, that is when you come to Christ and you ask, what must I do to be saved? That's the message of the jailer, that he asked Paul and Silas, he asked, what must I do to be saved? All of a sudden, the honor of man meant nothing to him anymore. And he says, what must I do to be saved? Show me, help me. And what was the works that he should do? He should believe. He should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what he should do. When Jesus tells them in verse 38, you do not have his word abiding in you, they were hearing God's word in their ears. They knew the words that Moses had written down to an extent. The word was among them, but it was not in them. It is not abiding in you, he says. You do not have his word abiding in you. Look, if God's word is truly in you, then you will also seek to honor him. You also seek to obey him. Because if Christ is in you, how can you continue to live in sin? How can you continue to be at peace with sin? 1 John 2 verse 14 says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. This is one with being a believer, that God's word abides in you. Yes, we have verses like what David wrote in the Psalms, in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. And we have also the verse about overcoming temptation. Why? By David says, hiding God's word in our heart. That is a good thing to do, but that is not the same meaning. We could memorize the whole Bible and still not have God's word abiding in us. And that's what we see with the Jews. They knew the words very well, but it was not abiding in them. It was not changing them. It was not turning their hearts to say, we want the honor that comes from God only. We want God's praise. We want God's honor. Not in the way that, oh God, please praise me. Not in that way. But God, I want to be honorable to you. I want to obey you. I want you to be glorified by my life. That is the key. That is the difference. And so memorizing the scriptures is a good thing. But first of all, we need to know that Christ dwells in us, that He abides in us. His word has a place of truth in our heart where we say that we want Him above all else. We want the honor that comes from God more than the honor that comes from man. Now, verse 39, Jesus is becoming direct with them. When He says, search the scriptures, He is telling them what they are doing. In some versions, it's put as a question. Do you want to search the scriptures or do you search the scriptures? But it is a statement. The way the verb is put, it is a statement. Search the scriptures. And I think He means it in two ways. One is they do. But number two, it is they're looking for the wrong thing. They're looking only for the credentials. They're only looking, today we would say, for the doctor in front of their name. They're searching the scriptures. They're reading, they're memorizing until someone gives them honor for knowing the Bible. When He says, search the scriptures, they do it, they should do it, but for what? He says, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. What He's saying is, you think by knowing the scriptures you will have eternal life. What is that called? What is it called? If I told you that if you memorize 10% of the Bible, the whole Bible, you will have eternal life. What is that? Anyone can help me out? What would that be if I said, if you memorize 10% of the Bible, you know it by heart, word for word, then you'd be saved? What is that? That would be saved by works. And yet, this is what the Jews trusted in. Search the scriptures. He's telling this to them in a double way. He's saying, you do it, you should do it, but you think you'll find eternal life by the words on a page. You think you find eternal life by the words on a page. You'll change your life, you'll do things, and you think you find eternal life here. But the place where you'll find eternal life is in Christ, in a person. The words that you find, they point you to the place where you find eternal life. You think that the scriptures are the end in themselves to bring you to God. You fail to see that the scriptures are not in itself that which you need to be saved. The scriptures are, we could say, a means to an end. They are the means to bring you to Christ, to bring you to eternal life, to bring you to heaven, to have peace with Christ for all eternity. The scriptures bring you to the scripture are the means to bring you to the means, which are Christ, which is Christ. And this is how you will find eternal life. Not by the words, not by changing your life and the works in your life according to the words on the page, but by finding who it is speaking about, that it is about Christ. You think in the scriptures you have eternal life, but it is them which testify of me. If anyone else said that, anyone else except Jesus, we would say you are proud. You think it's all about you. But you know what? The whole Bible is about Jesus. Jesus was the master in humility while being the king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He brought the truth. There's nothing better for us to do than to say amen and bow down and worship. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who says, all of the scriptures points to me. That's what Jesus says. There's nothing better for us to do than to say amen and bow down and worship him. Jesus did not only say it here. When he walked to Emmaus with the disciples, it says that beginning in Moses, going through the prophets, he showed them all things about himself. They were all pointing to himself. When he says search the scriptures, he's not saying soon we will have the New Testament, then you can find out about me. He's saying it is all there. Search the scriptures, they point to me. Search the scriptures diligently, consistently, over and over again. Because as long as you live, you will not get to the bottom of what you find in the Word of God. There's always more to find. There's always more to dig. You will not say by the end of your life, I have found it all. You've only begun to find what is in the Word of God about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, our Messiah, our Redeemer. You think you find heaven by knowing the Bible. And yet, the Bible points you to the one through whom you can come to heaven, through Jesus Christ. There's only two eternal destinations. One is hell, one is heaven. You can correct me with the words if you want, because the Bible talks about the lake of fire being the final place, but I think we can call it hell. There is heaven and there is hell. You can read the Bible, you can memorize the Bible, but it will still not bring you to heaven. You will still end up in hell unless you find the treasure. The Bible calls it the treasure. And it says, the wise man, he sold all that he had. When he found a treasure in the field, he sold all that he had and he went and he bought this treasure. Why? Because he understood the value of the treasure. Look, Your life, you are a soul. You will exist forever. Your life, all of you, you have a soul. You will exist forever. If you find this treasure, you will be with Christ forever. If you only look for your own selfish things, you will not find this treasure, and you will end up in hell for all eternity. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, where you find this treasure and you sell all that you have and you buy this treasure. You see, there is nothing worth more than to know Jesus. You understand, you finally believe that yes, you have sinned. You have sinned and you have sin and you have nothing redeemable in you apart from Christ being your Redeemer. And so this eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ, and you find Jesus Christ by looking in His Word, and His Word points you to Him who is the Savior, the Redeemer. 1 John 5 verse 11 says, God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. This eternal life is in Christ. To end, I'll read Proverbs 2, the first five verses. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yes, if you cry after knowledge and lifts up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and searches for her as for hidden treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Bible says that the wise man built his house upon the rock. Proverbs 2 says the wise man searches for this treasure, for this wisdom, for this wisdom which leads to the fear of God. So you can be foolish and continue in your life as you've always continued. Look after your own pleasures. Look after your own wants and wishes. Or you can seek for the wisdom of God. Ask Him to give you wisdom. Ask Him to bring you the fear of God. Ask Him to give you the knowledge and understanding to see that you and yourself are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then cry out to Jesus for salvation. Call on Him to be saved. You can have everything else in life, but you'll be just like the Jews who Jesus said to them that even Moses, the one you say that you trust in, even Moses accuses you. When you stand before Christ, it'll be Moses that'll accuse you. The one that you say that you trust in, he will accuse you and say, no, you did not believe in the one that I told you about. And when you stand before God, you either have the righteousness of Christ because you trust in Him, or you will tell God, well, I thought this would be enough. I thought my mother and father are Christians. I thought I always went to church. I thought I was being a pretty good person. And they will tell you, even your mother and father, even your friend, even your pastor told you that you cannot trust in your works, that you have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And by the grace of God, this is what we will continue to do. The gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation. Trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He will give you eternal life, and you'll be with Him forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. Your word points us to the one who is eternal life, Jesus Christ, to the one who gives eternal life to as many as trust in Him. Lord, I pray today that Your word would be fire, would be like a hammer that it is written about, and that it would break the hearts of those who are yet fighting against You, that they would see they have nothing else to lose, only Christ to gain. They would come to Christ with everything, trust in Him with their whole heart, with their whole life, leave the sinful world behind. The pleasures and devices of the wicked are not comparable to the eternal glories that'll be together with Christ. Lord, help us, those who have believed, those who do believe also, to see still our own weaknesses and sin and our need for a Savior daily, our need for cleansing, and always our need for Christ's righteousness. Without You, we have nothing. Bless us. Guide us in Your truth. Help us to bring Your word further to a lost and dying world. Help us to see that even many who say, Lord, Lord, and think they're doing great works for You, even many of them are lost. And help us to have a burning heart, a burning desire to see lost souls saved. Lord, not to be critical about everyone who claims to be a Christian, but to see the truth that many who claim the name of Christ are still lost. That we always exhort one another daily, that no one would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, but to see that it is Your children who will truly persevere to the end, and it is only by Your grace. We thank You. We also pray now that You would bless us and as we take the Lord's table. And I pray also as we leave from here that you would bless us in our family, in our work, in our day-to-day life. Bless us, help us to follow you, to obey you, to please you, to honor you, to look for the honor that comes from you and not the honor that comes from man. Guide us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.